let's talk about another big story today, because the world is full of big stories this morning, and this one is really, really upsetting to an awful lot of people. Some of them have actually made it into this particular office. It's the first of 27 days of strikes going on South West Rail. It happened today, this morning, for the first time. We're going to talk to Bruce Williamson from the campaign group, of course, Rail Future. He's a man that's spoken to me about this in the past. We've both been fairly just kind of resigned to the fact, I suppose, that the management and the unions in this particular case can't seem to make any sense of one another. Bruce, a very good morning to you, and welcome to day one of December misery.
Yeah, it's exasperating, isn't it? You know, I suppose I did have, you probably did too, had a glimmer of hope that maybe that some heads would be banged together and this strike might be called off before it did, but sadly no, 27 days of misery.
Yeah, absolutely right. The problem, of course, for all the people who are travelling in is that there are some trains, but there's just no real guarantee of how many trains there are going to be.
Inevitably. So, yeah, the skeleton service means that there's, overcrowding even worse than usual, and queues at station and confusion, and I don't know, there's probably some bus replacement services as well. It sounds like a complete nightmare. So, you know, yeah, as I said before, this whole thing, it's exasperating, and it reflects badly on the rail industry. You know, yeah. I'm a rail campaigner. I want people to use the railways. I want a bigger, better railway, and this certainly isn't the way to get it.
No, and what we do know as well is that lots of other lines and lots of other railway companies have managed to make this deal work and managed to sort of create a system whereby these extra conductors were not required. And you and I have gone over this loads of times. I don't want to go over the old ground, but it seems incredible that they can't come to some sort of solution here. And there are those who say that there's a bit of politicking behind all of this. The RMT union is very much supported by the Labour Party. I think they've given them quite a substantial amount of money over time, 150,000 quid, I think, in the last 12 months or so. The Labour Party, of course, are in support of the strike action.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a big clue in the name Labour. You know, I mean, traditionally, the Labour Party was the party of unions, and to a large extent, it still is. You know, I don't really sort of want to get down a party political line, because actually I don't think it is a party political thing. I think it's, you know, it's specific to this line, and I think it's a level of sort of big-headedness on both parts, because, you know, as you say, it's been resolved elsewhere. There are solutions to this. It can be done. So, you wonder what's going on, and I'm afraid without sort of, you know, being a fly on the wall in the meeting and picking through the exact detail of what the dispute is, it's very hard to say.
I mean, does the fact that the strike is now on mean that there will be somebody will put more pressure, maybe the Ministry for Transport, for heaven's sake, puts pressure on both parties and says, look, you know, you can't strike for 27 days during December. That's nonsense. Sit down around the table, bash your heads together and come up with a plan.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know how legally it might happen, but there might be a situation where it comes down to binding arbitration, or someone within the Department for Transport might be able to act as a sort of honest broker and help resolve this issue. But I'll be honest, I'm not that optimistic.
Yeah, Andy McDonald, Labour's Shadow Transport Secretary, was on Talk Radio a little bit earlier on, funnily enough, and he was talking about train policy in general, because they've got a plan to reduce train fares. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
We're going to use money that's been ring-fenced in the Vehicle Excise Duty Fund, and we're taking $1.5 billion of that money, and we're going to bring about a reduction of 33% on average across season tickets and regulated fares. That will save people in the order of over £1,000 a year. And will guarantee fair pay for part-time workers, because they can sometimes lose out. And will make rail travel free for those of 16 years and under. And this is part of a move towards a much simpler system of rail ticketing, which will be very much based on the London model. So it's a major shift, but this is about addressing, amongst other things, the climate emergency that we face. We've got to make the shift, get people into public transport, and make our roads less congested, and of course improve air quality, as well as removing those emissions.
So they're going to use road tax to subsidise rail fares.
Well, I mean, you know,
a lot of people might think that's a bit of a misuse of the tax.
Well, I don't think it is. Here's the thing, okay, we've been campaigning for years, you know, on rail fares, and rail fares have gone up year after year after year ahead of inflation by using this larger IPI figure. So rail fares have gone up in real terms. And where we think, you know, that there's a sort of certain amount of hypocrisy and bad faith on the part of the government is that they've frozen fuel duty for years now. So why are they being kind to the motorists? Clearly they can.
Are you joking, Bruce? What? Are you now joking? No. You've now moved into the realms of parody. I don't think there's anyone who drives a car that would recall the last time any government was, in your words, kind to the motorists.
Well, I can't see how you can say freezing fuel duty. Let me
why don't you look at the cost of the fuel that gets put into people's cars, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of tax that is put on that fuel, because it is the highest tax in the world on fuel that goes in a car.
No, it's not.
Where is it higher?
Some European countries.
Oh, some European countries.
Denmark are higher.
No,
I think.
No. Well,
it doesn't matter. The point is that the government.
It doesn't matter.
But hang on, to the point I'm making,
right,
is that the government is not treating motorists and rail passengers equally. If you're going to freeze fuel duty for motorists, it's only right and proper that at the same time you freeze rail fares.
Not true. No, you're coming at it completely the wrong way round, because the problem is, right, that would be correct if the fuel stayed the same price, but the fuel only goes up. I remember quite a long time ago, fuel was down around £1 a litre. It's now about £1.50. That's a 50% increase. Nobody travelling by rail has had their fares increased by 50% in as little as a year. Have they?
I'm not sure I agree with you.
You're not sure you agree with me.
Well, it's certainly true that fuel duty hasn't gone up.
That doesn't matter, Bruce. That's not the issue. But we haven't got any more time to talk about it because you've been waffling on about Denmark. But never mind. We'll get you back on and we'll have a proper argument, because I think there are going to be a lot of motorists not very happy about this particular plan. This is Talk Radio.